CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Friday morning. Woo-hoo-hoo. We are here, we are live. Sia Sangweni, Bulelo Tinta, Fundo, Ladla, and me. We're all here to look after you. No Leanne this morning because I've given her, I've quarantined her.
Mm.
Leanne is a high-risk person. not because of her physical being, but because of her mental being. No, we'll miss her today. But yeah, I just think the less people you come into contact, the better with. This whole week from Monday until now, I've only been in two places. I've been in my house and I've been at the office. That's it. Only those two things. I did go to the shops on Tuesday briefly, and that was the only time I went to the shops.
But knowing you, you were probably in, on a mission, out.
Yeah. Oh, no. Quick to the, you know, and no stockpiling of anything. No need to do that.
No greeting and speaking to the sales assistants.
No. You don't need to do that. Don't need it.
I would not enjoy shopping with you.
No, you wouldn't, because you like to browse, right?
Yes, you need to look at the selections. You need to...
You want to think about it.
Yes.
Maybe this, maybe that. You like to look at the... Oh, maybe that's a good one, but the price is a bit high.
It's at least a 90-minute situation.
I'm like, get it and get out. Anyway, there's this craziness of the stockpiling is something I will never understand, and it is just very stupid, and I wish people would stop doing it, because it does... Absolutely zero. All it does is cause a panic.
Do you know anyone directly who stockpiles like crazy?
If I did, I would immediately disassociate from them. I think it's dumb. I really think it's dumb.
I know a few. And they're now the people who, if real panic were to set in, that's who I'm going to. Like, hey.
Oh, but you think that they were more carefully prepared for...
Oh, yeah. I'm not prepared at all.
No, I don't think it's prep. I think this is panic, and those are precisely people to avoid during a situation like this because they're not thinking.
Mm.
Like, there is no disruption to the supply chain for food. There is no disruption to the supply chain for loo paper.
If anything, they're...
stupid. They're causing it.
If anything, those industries are making more money out of
Correct.
Us right now.
Oh, lovely. Woolworths has had a bumper week, guaranteed. Been their best sales week ever. And the same goes for Checkers, Pick and Pay, Spar, all of them.
Don't let their empty offices fool you. They actually aren't self-quarantining. They're on holiday celebrating great sales.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
they're by the beach right now.
Well, someone sent me this picture of or video of Sainsbury's in London. Lauren sent this to me, and she says, please excuse my brother's foul language, but stay safe out there, kids. This is London, okay? The once the capital of a great empire. Just listen to how they talk about the fall of Rome. Listen to this.
This is it, ladies and gents. The fucking world has gone crazy.
And the shelves are empty. Bulelo saw this earlier. Empty, empty, empty.
And this is a massive store.
Oh, Sainsbury's is...
That means people bought the rotten stuff as well.
Yeah. Sainsbury's is like Pick and Pay here for those who haven't been fortunate enough to be there. It's massive. It's a huge chain.
Anyway, so that's what's going on in London. So if you think it's, South Africa, you're such a disaster. Well, I think the rest of the world, hey, they say, there's a lot of people saying, I have to say they say. So let me give you a proper reference.
Yeah.
Tim Mnuchin, who's the Secretary of the Treasury in the Trump administration, said in a news interview yesterday that if they don't bail out some of these industries, if they don't help some of these people who are currently facing unemployment, the unemployment rate in the U.S. could go from 3% was at its best, right? 2 months ago.
And this administration was tooting that horn a lot, rightfully so.
3% of people were unemployed in the whole United States. They say it might go to 20%, which is only 10% less than us. And we're a disaster zone in unemployment.
Mm.
Now, I do not want to take pleasure in other people's pain, but what this may well do is just level the playing fields and make us look less shit, which would not be a bad thing.
Wow.
I mean, it's not going to help people who don't have jobs. Unemployment is unemployment. It's not as if that's a good thing to look at from any angle. There's no upside to unemployment.
So part of this report was that last week, 281,000 Americans filed for their first week of unemployment benefits. 281,000. A lot of them, understandably so, work in airlines, restaurants, hotels, right, sports events, and general retailers.
Well, I'm not afraid, people. I'm going to be on the front lines today. I'm going to the airport. I will report from there on Monday. I will let you know how it goes. No, I mean, really, as I said to you, I've been responsible all week. I have not left my house from Monday when I woke up until, you know, beside coming to the office and going to the shops all of one time, I've not left my house besides that at all. Didn't go anywhere. Didn't go and visit my parents. Didn't go to see my nephews. Didn't have any people over. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's it. And I think that's responsible. I just think you've got to be careful who you infect. Not that I'm infected, but I don't want to pick it up from someone and I don't want to pass it on to someone. I would hate to be the middleman in that transaction.
So already going to the airport is a little bit of a journey ordeal for you? And you aren't
okay,
so hypersensitive
I've,
now?
I've already checked in online, right? So I've got my one bag with me, which only I will touch. I will put it through that that scanner, and I'll probably spray the bag down afterwards. I've got a little spray bottle here.
Oh, that's smart.
Yes. And we'll see how it goes. I'm not gonna get paranoid.
Okay.
If it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen, right?
How are you getting to the airport?
I'm driving myself. No, I'm driving myself, and I'm leaving my car there, and okay, I will pick my car up, and no one else is gonna be parking it or anything else for me. So
you aren't going to the lounge?
Yes, I will, because I think that's probably better.
Fewer people. Okay, Bob's your uncle. No, it's fine. We'll survive.
I just want to point out, for example, there's a famous institution, a famous restaurant in Cape Town that are closing tomorrow for 2 to 3 weeks. That's 82 staff temporarily out of work. And that 6 p.m. rule that Ibrahim Patel has gazetted in the Government Gazette about liquor, for example, that 6 p.m. rule is going to hit these people hard. And I'm sure that's not the only place that's going to be hit like this. And by the way, we're launching a new show next week where we're going to just let people know what's going on, and we're going to give businesses, particularly small businesses, an opportunity to talk about how they're dealing with this crisis, what they're doing, what solutions they may have found along the way. Bulelo and Pinky will be hosting that. Fundo will be producing it, and if you would like to get hold of them, you can email us contact@cliffcentral.com. And we can maybe try to get the word out there about what you're doing, and maybe there are people you can link up with that might be able to help you and your business. Maybe there's stuff that they know that might help you. Maybe there's stuff that you know that might help them. So it's our little attempt, I suppose, because I do not have the ability to stop disease. I do not have the ability to tell people to go back to work or to countermand the government in any way. But what we can do is we can make people aware. That's our power. So we're going to help wherever we can, and we'll start this show on Wednesday next week.
Yeah, because when you really do think about it, the tough thing about this is we're all blindsided by it. We didn't get time to really prepare. Yes, we heard reports and we saw trends in other countries, but it didn't really sink in up until restrictions were made for us and things were shut down for us. So there are a lot of people who are really feeling this hit.
So Corona is really like that annoying aunt who doesn't phone, and then she just pitches up at the door and she stays for 2 weeks. Used to happen to my mom all the time.
Is that?
Yeah, her sister-in-law used to do that all the time.
Is that how you're thinking of a world virus?
Well, I should have called ahead. Just call ahead. I've got to prepare the spare room.
I did hear an epidemiologist on a podcast from the US yesterday who said he reckons this thing will be over in China by the end of March. Over. As in they will have eradicated the virus in China by March. Of course, it's not going to go away completely because, like the seasonal flu, it comes back, but we'll be better armed and better prepared next time. That America could have all of this in the bag by the end of May. And therefore that the rest of us might be able to do it in the time intervening. Perhaps some countries a little bit longer, some countries a bit shorter. So really, if you think about places like Singapore that have also managed to just stamp it out completely, it is doable. But it's not the government's responsibility. It's each of us. Make sure you don't spread it. If you do get it, self-quarantine. And let's just be sensible. You know, we can get rid of this sooner than we think. And we can go back to an inverted commas normal, even though, as I said yesterday, it might be a different kind of normal. But we've got to try and reset things. This is just crazy. The way this is going to impact on people's lives has got nothing to do with the disease and everything to do with a huge reaction to the outbreak.
It'll be interesting to see how we respond in the West. You know, in China, Singapore, the places you've mentioned, is sticking to the rules is part of the game. From when you are born, you know, already.
Yeah, but then places like South Korea, where they didn't have, you know, the military on the streets telling people to go back home. People mostly did the right thing anyway, but they're also very electronically connected in South Korea. So people had apps on that gave them information. They were able to record infections much quicker. They were able to test much more because they had enough test kits around. So they also got the whole thing under control very quickly.
Yeah, but the South Korean way is people aren't at the center of the society. If you look at their very recent history, it's all about us. And that's infused even, I've been looking at how they educate their children even. It's always about us. Here in the West, you know, you tell someone in South Africa that the president said this, I mean, you know, that's our natural thing is how I feel. So maybe the East has something to teach us, whether we don't like it and it's too draconian for us. It's like, if you stick to the rules, especially in bad times, they seem to be controlling coronavirus better than us. Really? Mm.
Have you seen all these funny memes going around about people who, for example, haven't been able to get their nails done? And their nails look shit during the epidemic. And then people who haven't had their eyebrows, women who've got like a unibrow. And people who haven't had a haircut.
Mm.
I'm getting a lot of messages from people. And by the way, people who are clients of ours, like SkinSense, who, for example, are open and they're taking precautions. So you can still go there for all the treatments. And if you want to have a manicure or a pedicure, or you want to go for a, you know, a haircut or a massage or whatever it is, they have various steps in place to make sure that they are being as careful as possible. Nothing is 100%. But they're keeping up their business.
Mm.
And there are a lot of others that are too. I'm going to go for a haircut next week. I've got an appointment. I think it is on Tuesday or Wednesday. And I'm going to go.
Mm.
Don't touch surfaces that you don't have to touch. Don't hug people or shake hands with people. you're cutting down the chance of you getting this by degrees. It's huge. So if we're just sensible, and I know this is going to mean that afterwards, no one's going to be having sex anymore.
Whoa.
What? How did we get to that point?
Okay, I think there's going to be a lot less. I think people are going to become increasingly socially isolated, and I think people are going to be very suspicious of strangers, and the whole way of meeting people is going to change. Look, it has already with social media, but once you eventually meet the real-life person, you're still going to keep your distance for a while.
Do you think so?
I don't know about that one.
I disagree as well.
I think so, dude.
Without being too crude, I don't know the last time you had sex, but that's one thing. Nah.
It's
Corona or no corona.
I'm telling you.
Corona or no corona.
And a lot of people are talking about how fat they're going to be. That's also going to put people off.
Ah, that would have happened anyway.
Because all the people who would be going to gym this week are not. And they're eating at home. They're stockpiled and now they're quarantine eating.
I'll have to fess up, man. I've been eating a lot.
Have you, Sia?
Oh, yeah.
You look so fat, Sia.
No. I'm not obese.
Thinnest person in the world.
I really am not obese.
Aren't you, Sia? You're not obese?
No. I've been home a lot this week. I've been alone a lot this week.
No.
And so as much as I'm sitting on the couch working or I'm catching up on some series, just think, all right, time to eat then. I've gone through a lot of junk.
Yeah, you and Oprah. Imagine how Oprah.
She's had a very tough week.
Imagine how Oprah is overeating right now.
Imagine
Oprah sitting in that house. Oh, well, I think I'll have another packet of chips.
Gail.
Yeah.
Please take her name out of this. She's had a very tough week right now. People were accusing her of running some sex, like pedophilia sex ring.
Oh, no.
Imagine. This is when the world is really ending. She was trending at like number 2 globally the other day. I know. Shame. I need to email her.
Oh my God. There are rules about what you should be doing if you think you have COVID-19. Oh my God. It is like 6 pages long.
Who was this issued by? Do you know?
Listen to some of these.
Uh-huh.
There's a News 24. Do use tissues. Do ask people to leave their deliveries outside their home for you to fetch. Don't share towels with other people. Do use a bleach-based disinfectant. I mean, this and the list goes on, hey?
Is this for South Africa?
For anyone in the world. We're all the same now.
See, here's
Polelo,
this
what do you
sad
think? We're better
thing.
Or worse than other people?
I do.
Listen to this quickly. You get an idea of what I'm talking about. Some crazy shit going down, people.
In a statement that last year...
this is Australia, by the way.
...treated 3 million people. Mm. How many are you expecting to come through emergency departments over the flu season if we also have a convergence of COVID-19?
We don't know. That's the bottom line. We don't know. What we do know is that we expect more, and probably a lot more. And so the message that I have been trying to get out as the State Health Minister is if you don't need to come to an emergency department, if you have an ailment that is not requiring an emergency, for heaven's sake, don't come.
Yeah.
Go and see your GP. Now, as Dr. Chan says, we don't want people to not have their health issues addressed.
Yeah.
But we have in this country a fantastic primary healthcare system. Some countries don't have it. We have a primary healthcare system, and that's our general practitioners.
Right. So that's what he's saying, which is what we've been saying from the beginning. By the way, Australia, 710 cases confirmed, 3 people dead, and 27 so far recovered.
Sure.
Because obviously it takes 14 days for you to know that you've recovered.
Fair dinkum.
Supposedly. Fair dinkum, mate.
Fair dinkum,
excuse
mate.
Me?
Yeah, fair dinkum. That's what they say in Australia when you say something that's true. They go, fair dinkum.
Australia really
the
is
current,
another planet.
The current number of world confirmed cases, and I saw just 2 days ago, it was 200,000. Now it's 246,737. And there's a huge number of people who've recovered, so let's not lose our shit over that. But almost every country's on the board now. There are 167 countries out of 195.
Ooh.
Yes. Guess which country's doing the best? The Vatican. One case, but they've only got 10 people.
I was about to say.
You know, one case confirmed, 0 deaths, 0 deceased, 0 serious in hospital. How's that?
I wonder who those countries are that aren't affected.
Well, they're all like 90, so if it did catch there, they're probably all dead.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them are African countries, like Somalia, Central African Republic, Togo, and then places in South Asia, Nepal, Bhutan in the South Pacific.
So the Buddhists are onto something.
Apparently, countries in equatorial regions, less affected. Apparently, this thing does not like hot temperatures. Well, that's what we're drawing very – it's kind of anecdotal at this point because they haven't done a huge amount of research into it yet. They're looking at the effect on human beings, so they're not looking at how the virus exists in different climates yet to the degree that we perhaps should have the data. But that's what they're saying. Hotter areas seems better. Now, that's bad news for us because it's becoming cooler into autumn and winter. So that could also have a negative effect on our numbers. But some people love this, hey? Yo! There are some people who are just, they are absolutely loving this. They're sending you, like, government. Have you seen these people who, like, forward you government documents?
All of these WhatsApp forwarded stories and reports, and you don't know where they come from. It just gets people going. Just gets people talking.
Switzerland confirmed 3,380 infections and 33 dead. All sports cancelled, no gym. I think we're going to have a baby boom in 9 months. A lot of Netflix and chill is happening. Yeah, that's a good point. Dr. LZ throwing that in there.
Yeah.
We'll speak to Dr. Robin later on because she's got some things to say about this too. I agree with Gareth about social distancing. I think the global culture will change. We will tell our great-grandchildren about the times when we used to greet with a handshake and they'll be horrified. Yeah.
Yeah, but it. You said sex. No, you have to stop
I'm
at sex.
I'm telling you, dude.
Gareth, you can't stop people from eating chips. Those are the carnal needs. Sex, are you kidding me? There is no way that is slowing down. There is no way.
I don't mean to be overly...
Poor people, well, I know you're right. You know how we know you're right? AIDS.
I was going to say.
Yes.
Poor AIDS. People still have sex.
People at one stage AIDS was a death sentence. You were going to die before we had AZT, right? Mm-hmm. Antiretrovirals. Mm. Now, before that...
The symptoms.
They kill you. And people still fucked everyone they
Absolutely.
Knew.
Absolutely.
So,
like wild rabbits. Okay.
You know what? Based on the evidence that's just occurred... In the most obvious sense, you are correct. I'm not going to argue with you. But people may change the way they behave with each other. So sure. Who knows? People will be having sex with their hands tied behind their backs.
Oh, are you into some S&M?
Yes, that's Jazzy. She says...
Oh, Jazzy.
Oh, what a
name. No, she's not saying that that's because she's into that.
Jazzy, I can spot a freak from a mile away.
Oh, right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Babazi saying, I'm listening on the road, driving up to Botswana to fetch my wife because we don't want to risk her flying back. Nervous about crossing the border under the current circumstances.
Hey, I'd stay in Botswana. Botswana gets to like 50 degrees, right? And we've already established it doesn't like the heat, so...
Maybe.
Yeah.
That is such a sweet thing, though.
Why has Russia been so quiet? We don't trust the Russians or milquetoast postmodern lefties who get excited by socialism. And you know what? Russia has done an extraordinarily good job. Their infection rates are right down. Russia's had no deaths. And you know what part of the reason is? They've shut every single one of their borders. Closed. They are not letting anyone in. They're not letting anyone out. Russia has handled this probably in the most extreme way out of everybody. They've said, sorry, if you're not Russian, just we're not letting you in.
When times are difficult, you need strong leadership. And love him or hate him.
Yeah,
one thing he is, he will make decisions.
Vladimir Putin.
He's not Cyril. He will make decisions. And when he makes them, boom.
199 confirmed cases in Russia, zero deceased. And most people on the path to recovery there. But they have shut the border.
It might be dramatic, but I think it works.
Mm. Hey, listen, does anyone want to suggest what the secret formula of the Eastern Cape might be, besides the fact that people are just too poor to travel in the Eastern Cape? How come they have no infections?
They're closer people.
What about
them? Okay. Well, over now to more racism, self-identifying
Khoisan
man.
Racism and tribalism
today.
From...
Now I can identify as Khoisan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
Meanwhile, your petty relatives are all passing it on with abandon in Limpopo.
That's a different conversation.
And Gauteng.
Please explain to us.
Well, look, I'll explain it like this, short and sweet.
Okay.
Nelson Mandela, Siya Kolisi. Thank you.
Please.
We gave you those.
It's not an argument.
Nelson Mandela's dead, so with all due respect, he can't contract the virus.
Yeah.
Siya Kolisi, the verdict is still out there.
Nelson Mandela can't contract.
Oh, R.I.P. Madiba. So I don't know what you're saying.
When all of this is over, we, the rest of the world, should send China the bill now. This is something. No, this is something I agree with. And a lot of people are very angry with Donald Trump in all of this, right? They're saying, oh, it's wrong of him to call this the Chinese virus. Excuse me, the Spanish flu, the German measles.
Mm.
That's not racism. That's where it comes from. And the country that's responsible for this outbreak is...
China.
Plus, the Chinese government, who have not covered themselves in glory during this whole thing, despite what anyone might tell you, they covered up early infections in December. They silenced people who spoke out, and people were threatened when they started talking about this virus. Right?
Sure.
Fact. Look at the Times of London news from this week. A story about how the Chinese government actively tried to squash and kill information around this virus early in December. So let's not pretend that this is about Donald Trump being a racist. And if you call people a racist during an epidemic like this, let me suggest that your priorities are wrong. Listen to this journalist. This is funny because the way he says
China. This is the Chinese virus. There are reports of dozens of incidents of bias against Chinese Americans in this country. Your own aide, Secretary Azar, says he does not use this term. He says ethnicity does not cause the virus. Why do you keep using this?
Because it comes from China.
Racist.
It's not racist at all. No, not at all. It comes from China.
China.
That's why. Comes from China. I want to be accurate. Yeah, please, John.
Yes.
I have great love for all of the people from our country. But as you know, China tried to say at one point, maybe they stopped now, that it was caused by American soldiers. That can't happen. It's not going to happen. Not as long as I'm president. It comes from China. John, please.
And it does.
And he then disregards the journalist from that point on.
Yeah, it's like I've answered what I've had to say. But also, what a stupid thing to be focused on. Now, I've said already on this show, and you can go back and listen to Monday or Tuesday's show, and you will hear that I said, the thing that upsets me is you can't go around being racist and maligning and ostracizing Chinese people. But the government of China is partly responsible for not containing this and not doing the right thing and telling the world early on. And the Chinese government does not equal the Chinese people. And that does not mean you should be victimizing Chinese people in this country or in any other country in the world who are not personally responsible for this thing. Right? That would be exactly what the journalist said it was. And I'm not for that in any which way. Remember, there have also been misinformation campaigns put out by the Chinese government, again, to try and blame everybody else. Oh no, this was engineered by the American military and released in Wuhan. Here's what we know. There are disgusting practices that happen in China, like people eating pangolins and civets and things like that. If you are going to eat exotic species like this and you're going to have them hanging around in wet markets all over the world, let's be very clear, that is not good for the world's health. This is not me being horrible and mean. This is about all of us surviving. We have just seen the whole world's economy tank. We're about to see hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people put out of work. That means they're going to be poor. Their children may not be able to get education and health care. They may not be able to survive. There are going to be people dead. I think we can set aside soft political correctness for a moment and be honest about the cause of this virus. These wet markets in China are a disgrace. And the Chinese government, if it's serious about fighting this kind of thing in the future, because the next disease will come from there as well. We had SARS come from there. We had, sorry, not SARS. It was the H1N1 virus come from there. There's this coronavirus. There have been at least three others in the last 20 years that have come from these funny practices that go on. And it's not laboratories that engineered this stuff. These are natural pathogens. Evolved natural pathogens. You don't eat something. Have you seen what a pangolin looks like?
Mm.
That thing's not designed to be eaten. All right? It's covered in scales. There can't be very much meat on it in the first place. It's an endangered species. We shouldn't be doing this. Let's be very honest about it. And if you think that's racist or xenophobic or culturalist or any of those things, may I suggest that your priorities are in the wrong place, because we have actual death tolls.
Okay, but then going back to the point of China possibly fitting the bill for this, how would that happen in a practical sense?
No, they won't. No. That's not going to happen. But we need to know who to lay the blame for the total collapse of the world economy at the feet of, and it is President Xi's government. Full stop. Thank you.
Sure.
Look for any, who else are you going to blame?
I would not want to be him right now.
No, and they're going to pay a price too. Let's be fair. I mean, the Chinese economy is going to be leveled. Manufacturing. Well, because no one trusts them to do. Who's going to invest there now? Let's just look at it objectively. If you have $1 billion to invest in a factory,
mm-hmm.
and you've seen what's happened with the disruption to supply lines now over this crisis, and how the whole country was shut down for effectively 2 months in order to contain a pandemic that, if we'd reacted earlier, and the statistics again, for countries that got to react early,
mm-hmm.
we can see that they managed to get a handle on this and contain it early enough. Are you going to put your factory there?
Well, okay, let me ask you this. I think people still will, because in a world where money is king, when I ask you as a billionaire, choose over your ethics or choose over the bottom line.
Even, no, bottom line comes into this. It's not about ethics because you can control things if they're in your own country and the same country that you're selling in.
Okay.
And for, let's say, Apple. For Apple to allow electronic components to be manufactured, and this is where, again, you've got to say Trump was right, where he's trying to bring manufacturing back to the United States. He says, we've got to build these components ourselves. He's giving them incentives, tax incentives, and so on. That stuff is happening. And it's happening because Americans in this case, and it could be South Africans, and God, wouldn't that be a boon to our industry?
Sure.
If we could open up more factories and we could start building the things that we keep buying and importing, I think it would be good for our economy, the U.S. economy. Europe would be better off having more factories and under their own supervision and control. We sent this stuff knowingly to China, and we said to the Chinese, you can do it cheaper, you can do it better, and they have. They've done a terrific job. Productive, unbelievably efficient, all the right things. And then suddenly something like this happens, and you go, oh, actually it's better to have that factory somewhere we can control it.
I'm skeptical.
That's
because
good business. It's got nothing to do with
it is good business, greed. But if I can produce something for 1 rand instead of 5 rand, because in the West here we've got to consider human rights, we've got to working hours, blah, 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 I want to go see my family. Whereas in the East, the rules aren't really favoring the worker. If we can do it at 1 rand and produce it at 1 rand instead of 5 rand, which is going to cost really in the end. I'm skeptical, but I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I would like to see more.
A quick
more
warning to your friends in the Eastern Cape, Mbulelo.
Let's hear it.
Do not eat owls, because even Eastern Cape residents think owls are witches. That's a point that's just been made, a very good point by Graham. And don't eat funny things like owls, okay?
Don't eat owls, because they are the best population control against rats we have.
Yes, exactly.
They are predator killers.
Rat killers.
I love them.
I didn't know we were
they kill small
owls.
Dogs and cats. I love them.
Okay.
Maybe Putin planned this all along and prepped the country and dropped a test tube into Wuhan.
Nyet. I say nyet to that.
No. No, you see again. Let's be sensible about this. There's no country that wanted this to happen. Mm-mm. Not even the Chinese. It's hit them
not
very
some
hard.
Massive conspiracy.
The Chinese have still got the highest death toll, I think, in this whole epidemic. So let's not imagine for a second that anyone made this happen on purpose. But if we're going to blame anybody, that's where we've got to start. Because that's where it started. Mm.
And also just it's easier to find someone to blame.
I'm wrong about that. There are more people dead in Italy than in China. 3,199 deaths in China and 3,405 in Italy. And by the way, mostly in one part of Italy. Also, China may be recovering sooner, but their economy is based on exports and the world is not buying at this stage. Yes, that's what I mean. So it's bad news all round. Let's be clear, everybody. We're in this together, but some people are more responsible than others. It's like if you go around spreading this thing actively and you're not responsible, you're more responsible than others for what happens. And you know that the government have gazetted this white paper, which basically means if you are found to intentionally spread this disease, you could go to jail.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, I think that's, I've always said that for AIDS. If you know you are HIV positive and without declaring it to someone, you sleep with them or you pass on the infection, that you should be held responsible, at very least for what we call in this country manslaughter or second-degree murder, and at most murder. It's what it is. Let's be reasonable. Okay, got to get to the headlines, and it's No Politics Friday, so we've done a bit of politics, but I promise you that's all there is, and we're going to have some fun from here on in. We've got lots planned for you for the next hour. Let's first look at the five things you need to know. Panic buying has forced South African supermarkets to ration food. I think this is quite a good idea at this point. You don't need to buy more than 5 lettuces. However big your family is, 5 is quite a lot. You don't need to buy more than five packs of steak, for example. You don't need to buy more than 5 packs of toilet rolls. You don't.
There are 5.
Only five, like our former president said. That's exactly right. You know, he's still there in the background telling us what to do in the right places.
Has he been tweeting, by the way?
He's a great guy to look to in a crisis. Someone said that if Jacob Zuma was president now, we would all be putting like cow dung on our stomachs and we'd be douching out our nostrils with horse piss.
Wait a minute.
That was the kind of leader he was.
Wait a minute. Oh, no, he hasn't tweeted since that photo of him aiming a gun on the quad bike.
There are 5. There are 5, only 5.
Okay. That's right.
Maybe he's working on his album.
There are 5.
Yeah.
5.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President. So, former president. South Africa's biggest supermarket, ShopRite, will limit purchases of some food products and medicines, it said on Thursday, as frantic shoppers stripped shelves to prepare for the possible isolation of the coronavirus outbreak. As the spread of the infection triggers panic across the world, South African retailers are saying they're working with their suppliers to ensure a consistent supply of products like meat and canned food and medicine. Countries across Africa reporting their first coronavirus cases have seen a rush in shops, customers piling trolleys with wipes, sanitizer, and staples like rice and long-life milk. To ensure most people have access to everyday essentials, ShopRite has said they're now rationing the sale of toilet paper, tissues, wipes, liquid soap, hand sanitizer, as well as some tinned foods. So when you get to the counter, if you've got more than the allotted number, 3, 5, whatever it is, they're going to say to you, sorry, you can only have this many. And it's good, because panic buying should be stemmed.
Yeah.
If you can't do the right thing, then someone will show you how to do the right thing.
I thought most of our country was religious. What happened to treat thy neighbor, etc.?
That stuff gets put right on the back shelf. What are you? You don't know about this thing called hypocrisy? Pulelo.
I'm
shocked. Let me down.
Shock horror. Shock horror.
For someone who reads philosophy.
Oh, shock horror. I thought the religious people would be all about
it. A taxi driver has appeared in court in Cape Town in connection with the murder of a City of Cape Town traffic officer. Walton van Rooyen, 49, was shot and killed in Acre Road in Kensington Tuesday morning. It's alleged the taxi driver, Craig DeLilly, killed the officer after he was arrested for a traffic violation. Yo.
Wow.
I mean, I've heard of people being disrespectful to the Metro Police, but this is outrageous. You kill the guy because he's giving you a traffic ticket?
It's a slight overreaction.
Woo.
It is a slight overreaction. Wow.
So this guy then fled the scene, but they've arrested him. Metro Police officers managed to track him down, and he was arrested hours after the shooting. He appeared in court. He claimed he was assaulted while in custody. Oh, shame. Well, that's going to happen. I wish I could say that I'm against that, but you kill a policeman or a Metro policeman, you kill him, you're going to get a little beaten up by his colleagues.
Sure. For you were speeding.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
In other news, Eskom, they love being in the news. They will not allow a crisis like coronavirus to pass by without making themselves part of the crisis. So they're in the news. Eskom has appointed an independent senior counsel to investigate allegations of corruption and victimization against the chief operating officer, Jan Oberholzer. It's understood Corruption Watch and the South African Federation of Trade Unions received information from an Eskom employee that he was allegedly prejudiced after speaking out against Oberholzer. The employee also submitted an affidavit to the State Capture Commission, but retracted it without providing reasons. Sounds a bit suspicious. In the very near future, they say the best interest of Eskom and the complainant and the COO have engaged the services of an independent senior counsel to investigate this. It is hoped the conclusion of such an investigation, together with any subsequent actions, will bring about a fair and lasting resolution. So clearly some nefarious activity going on there.
Mm.
Probably to cover up corruption of some kind. That would be the reason. I'm fairly sure you could infer that. Okay, and then Netflix is slowing down in Europe to keep the internet from breaking. Yes, because people are quarantined at home, Netflix will reduce streaming quality for at least the next month to prevent the internet collapsing under the strain. Have you noticed how slow the internet is at the moment?
I haven't.
You haven't?
I'm still able to watch in HD.
Okay, well, HD. I've noticed it's a bit slow.
Oh, no.
So apparently Netflix and European networks are letting their traffic down by about 25% while also ensuring a good quality of service. The announcement followed appeals from EU officials for Netflix and individual users to ditch high-definition video and prevent the internet from breaking. So many countries enforced lockdowns to fight the spread of the virus, hundreds of millions working from home and even more children out of school. The officials were concerned about the huge strain on the internet. So be grateful if you have internet.
That's too much to ask. Mm. I refuse to watch anything in less than full HD. I refuse. No, I'm not kidding. I refuse.
You have such first world problems.
No, I refuse. But maybe that's because Pornhub is free in Italy, so maybe that's also taking quite a bit of the internet.
Pornhub are doing nothing wrong.
Mm. Oh, no. God's work.
God's work.
God's work.
And when Charles Darwin, who I know is one of your favorite authors, and Bulelo and most of ours, because he's probably one of the greatest emancipators in human history, by telling us all that we're the same species and extinguishing any ideas of us not being in solidarity with the other animals as well. That's what it's proven, if nothing else, his theory of evolution. When he published The Origin of Species in 1859, his evolutionary theories permanently shook up science and the way that researchers studied the natural world. And while his work laid the foundation for evolutionary biology, one major point was never proven until now. Nearly 140 years after his death, Cambridge University have found strong evidence that one of Darwin's hypotheses is true. This hypothesis states that a species belonging to a larger genus should also include more subspecies. And it was never something we could prove, but the graduate student, who's called Laura von Holstein, was able to prove this using a tool Darwin didn't have, data modeling. I've just reported evidence in favor of a hunch of good old Darwin's, von Holstein, who is a biological anthropology PhD student, said, I think this has big implications for evolutionary theory. So a genus, by the way, is a group of animals with similar traits. That could include multiple species. For example, most bears belong to the genus Ursus, right? And most sheep belong to the genus? Let me just think. So cows are bovine, mm-hmm. So they're bovis. What is sheep? Sheep are... I know pigs are porcine, porcus.
Ovis.
Ovis, thank you very much. So that's the genus for sheep. A species is a similar group of animals that can be can interbreed and exchange genes to reproduce. The brown bear is a species under the Ursus umbrella. And then a subspecies is a group within a species that looks phenotypically different from the rest of the species, has its own breeding range. A grizzly bear is a subspecies of the brown bear, for example. So that's how it works. And she has used all the data that you can now get thanks to machine learning and data crunching and all the rest of it, and she's able to figure out the family tree of all these different kinds of animals. It's and amazing. As a result, she's able to prove something that wasn't provable before. So that's great news, and if you want to know more about it, it's an article on CNN. Just look up Darwin's Theory of Evolution or Cambridge PhD student, and you will find it at the top of the news tab. All right, let's get to Dr. Robin. We haven't spoken to her for a little while. See what Dr. Robin has to say this morning. Hey, Dr. Robin, how the hell are you?
I'm very well, Gareth, and you?
Good. How are you coping with Corona, even though you don't have any in the Eastern Cape? You just carrying on as normal?
Well, no, not quite. We are starting to prepare for it. I'll let you know. My husband flew in from London on Sunday night. Got him on a flight on Sunday night, and he landed in the Eastern Cape on Monday morning.
Quarantine him.
But he's in self isolation. I haven't seen him. He's alone at our beach house, and we'll see him in 2 weeks' time. And I flip and wish more people in the Eastern Cape were doing that, because otherwise we are going to pretty soon catch up with everyone else.
That's very good of him to do that, and I think that's extremely sensible. Good for you people.
Yeah, and otherwise the hospital's starting to prepare. We've got a task team who are going to be at the front line, and I'm the gynecologist on the team, so I'll be dealing with any pregnant women who have it. So we are starting to prepare, and we're starting to gird our loins.
So what happens to pregnant women who get the flu or pregnant women who get any other kind of viral infection while they're pregnant?
You know, unfortunately, pregnant women, when it comes to things like flu and that, probably do get a slightly more severe infection. So normal flus and the bugs that go around, pregnant women are a little bit more susceptible to them. Mm-hmm. So far with coronavirus, we haven't seen that you're any more susceptible if you're pregnant. But what we... So that's the good news for our patients. You're not more susceptible, and you are not more likely to have severe illness.
You mean from COVID-19?
Yeah.
So what's the general feeling? I mean, you obviously talk to a lot of other doctors. Are you just sick and tired of the craziness around this, or are you more concerned and you think people aren't taking it seriously enough?
A little bit of both. I'm a bit tired of things like the panic buying and the, oh, really, why can't I go to the beach? Because they have closed our beaches down here, mm-hmm. And our kind of museums and swimming pools and things like that, public pools.
They don't mean you can't walk along the beach, but they do mean that you're not allowed to get into the water, or you're not allowed to go and sunbathe.
Yeah, and I think they actually would prefer it if you didn't go. Just limit your time in public spaces.
Okay.
So I'm kind of like getting that from one side, like everybody's moaning and groaning, but the tsunami is coming. And from the medical point of view, we are extremely concerned that we are not going to have the capacity to cope for what's coming.
Yeah, so there's some realism that's creeping in there as well, because we are all aware of the fact that we have an immune-compromised population, and that's obviously a big worry. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what's going on. With this flu, and you can give me a bit of a history here, because you know what happened with the Spanish flu epidemic in 1918. I'm sure it's something that all medical students are forced to study. There were 500 million people.
Not at all. They don't teach us any medical history. That's just quirky interest of mine. No, okay, well, very little.
You tell us what you know. Forget about what other medical students don't learn.
Well, I do know that the Spanish flu affected globally about 560 million people, and there were about 56 million deaths. And it was quite interesting because the Spanish thought that it was entirely their problem because we didn't have the internet, we didn't have news like we did, and nobody was talking about it because nobody wanted to talk about this outbreak that was happening in their own country except Spain. So Spain thought it was all their problem. Meanwhile, it was affecting the rest of the world. And interestingly, South Africa was one of the big hubs of Spanish flu, and that was because of some soldiers who were traveling back after World War One, and they were on a ship, and they traveled down the west coast of Africa, and they stopped off on one of those countries on the west coast, I forget which one, and some of the soldiers were then infected, and they climbed back on the boat, and so spread the disease amongst the people on the boat, climbed off in Cape Town, and whoop. There we went. And so we had a big wave of Spanish flu in South Africa. I don't know the numbers of our cases and deaths, but I do know we were one of the big nodes of infection.
What happened to it eventually? Because if you kill 50-odd million people, you've definitely...
Well, eventually you burn it out. The people who are going to get it and die have died, and the people who are going to get it and recover.
So how come some viruses come back time and time again, and others, like the Spanish flu, are stamped out?
A lot of what we see as seasonal flu does get stamped out every year. Because once a person develops an immunity to it, and I'm not an immunologist, so if there are immunologists listening out there, I apologize, I might get things a little bit screwy at this point. But as I understand it, once we've experienced one particular type of the virus, we're immune to that type of it. And some of our immunity waxes and wanes. So, you know, sometimes you get a good immunity and that's that, you've got it for life. And sometimes your immunity peaks over a couple of years and then it fizzles out and then you become susceptible again.
What are the most infectious diseases that we would know about? The ones that really pass, let's say they're contagious through the air, for example. And this one, thankfully, is not by all research available. What are the most infectious diseases? Rubella? Measles?
Like I said, not an immunologist, so maybe not the right person to ask that one to. I'm not sure. I do just know that this is particularly infectious.
Okay.
Through its droplet spread.
What are you doing to safeguard yourself and patients? Because obviously medical practitioners are at the front lines of this whole thing. Are you taking any special precautions?
Yeah, well, we're trying to. So we've asked our patients to, if they think they've been exposed or if they've traveled in the preceding few weeks, please not to keep your appointments. We're also limiting how many people can come into the room at any one time. We certainly have patients coming in and bringing entourages to witness their baby scans, and we've begged and pleaded, please, only one person, and make that your husband. But despite that, I am still having more than one come in. We also have removed all reading material from our waiting room, so there are no magazines and books in my waiting room. It's very boring, I'm afraid. There's bottles of hand sanitizer, and we request people, you know, just sit tight.
Apparently,
it can
live on cardboard for like 24 hours.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So that was why we need to get rid of that. Yeah. And we're getting pretty close to the point, I think, once we do start seeing cases in the Eastern Cape, I suspect I will be stopping all elective work. So I will only see emergency work, and I will only see pregnant patients who have to be seen. Mm-hmm. I may be delaying healthy pregnant patients' appointments. Unfortunately, I understand that I'm most likely to be exposed. So there will be a time when I won't be able to do any of my normal work.
Sure. And what will you do then? Stay at home as well?
No, I'll probably have to stay at the hospital. I'll probably just camp in my rooms in my surgery, and because I will be infected, healthcare workers are probably easier to work with currently infected patients. I know that's what they're trying to do in the UK and the rest of the world.
All right. Anything you want to tell people to do? Give us some advice, and we can all follow it. This is from a doctor.
I have a Facebook page and I put some sort of general advice on it, but my one take-home message is, in times like this, don't be a duss, be lekker. Don't stockpile.
Right.
Don't be idiotic. Don't go out and risk other people's health. Look after your neighbors if they're elderly. I have an old father. I'm trying my best to take care of him, but dementia is not really letting me do that. And, look after yourselves. And just to be a little bit less selfish.
Now, you're doing a charity run, Wild Women on the Run. You've spoken to me about this before.
Yes.
There's actually a website, wildwomenontherun.com, and you guys run along the wild coast, right? So tell us what's happening.
Dr. Robin, I want to jump in there.
Yeah.
It's Mbulelo, yeah? How are you?
Hi.
Yeah, good.
I am very well.
You're running with a good friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, a legend, Kim Van Ket, of course, who would have started.
She's absolute a diamond. Complete
ledge. Absolutely. Please go ahead.
Well, there's so few of you runners that you all know each other, obviously.
No, but these are ultra runners.
Quite special.
Yeah. Tell me what you're doing.
So every year we run along the Wild Coast, and we do it to raise funds for two charities. We raise money for a charity called African Angels, and we raise money for a charity called Bus Fare Babies. It's a small group of us. There are a maximum about 25 of us. The numbers do fluctuate annually, and it's not a race. We set off and we run from resort to resort on the Wild Coast. It's women only. And we run about 100 Ks in the 3 days. And we really do just celebrate womanhood. We celebrate what we're able to do. We celebrate running in the natural world. We celebrate the beauty of the Wild Coast. And we do it for a good cause.
Are you practicing social distancing on your run?
Well, I must say at this stage our run is in the balance for this year. We due to run at the end of April. At the moment we're kind of just holding our breath to see what happens. And currently I think most of us are training in isolation.
All right. So if people do want to donate or they want to get involved, as I said, the website is wildwomenontherun.com, and good luck to you for that.
And we are on Facebook as well, and okay. There's also a division of our one member of our group who last year established Wild Women on the Wall, and they run in China. But obviously this year that's also currently on hold.
All right. Thanks, Robin.
Sure. Cool. Thanks, guys.
Ciao. Cool. Thank you. There's Dr. Robin.
Cheers.
Okay. Well, we've got someone on the line who just wants to explain how they're dealing with coronavirus. Go ahead, sir.
Well, it is clear that after we had gone through elections, I think it was reported that I was exhausted.
Uh-huh.
And then quickly the doctors took a very good decision to say I should take it easy.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
And that's what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
I know that people were speculating.
Mm.
I read in the newspapers that how sick I am and what is it that what are the diseases that are in me.
Mm.
I was shocked. I thought that it may be another Jacob Zuma.
Mm.
Not this one.
No. Thank God you're okay then. And when you use hand sanitizer, what do you do? No, don't laugh. Come on.
I've withdrawn my fingers. As you can see my hand, I had
All right, yes. All right, thank you very much. There we go. Thank you, sir. Nice. What's happening in sports? Is there anything going on? You did a show last night.
Yeah, we did a stream last night. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Ridiculous questions. I actually took a screenshot of something that happened on Mbulelo's sports show last night. See, I asked this question. Remember when Oprah dragged a wagon of 67 pounds of fat onto stage after she lost weight? Would her strength qualify her for the Olympics? Good question, and you didn't answer it.
How's that a ridiculous question? No. These are pertinent things we need to know.
Now, why didn't you answer Sia's question?
Unfortunately, the stream cut.
I would have
loved to answer it. And there's a very simple answer. It depends on her technique.
Mm-hmm.
So the power comes through the technique you lift from sort of the calves, quads, and then you explode through the glutes.
I'll be back next week.
I wouldn't want to see Oprah explode through the glutes. If you don't mind my saying, I'd prefer not to see that. Sure.
I have more questions that I have to ask next week.
Sure.
No, but it was great. I caught every fifth word of that live stream.
Oh, so you had a bad connection because everyone's on Pornhub.
No, because I wasn't understanding what they were saying.
Oh, right.
So PSL, Big Six, Chelsea, Arsenal.
You were talking
Arsenal.
A lot about some American footballer.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, the guy who married Gisele Bündchen.
Mr. Gisele Bündchen. Be respectful, yes. Mbulelo.
Well played.
All right. Yes. So while everybody else is quarantining, Mbulelo is putting himself at risk on a Thursday night to do a sports show. Is there anything going on in sport, really?
Yeah, I think the cool thing about big sport is there's always like players being traded, and if you're into it, certain teams, there's lots of tactical stuff that happens in the background. So always keep an eye on that.
All right. Well, when we come back, we will give you, among other things, some Australian slang that is going to be born out of the coronavirus.
Oh.
We'll also take your questions. Some of them are for Sia, some of them for Mbulelo. There's a video of Donald Trump roasting the press again, which is hilarious. Because, I mean, who's really a fan of the media?
The media. Only the media.
Only the media. Mm. There's also CNN anchor Chris Cuomo, who has an on-air fight with his brother, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, about who their mother's favorite is.
Ridiculous.
And which siblings haven't had that argument?
Mm.
Cardi B has a response to coronavirus. Very important. We've got to hear from Cardi B. You know, she's my girlfriend.
Yeah.
So lots of things to talk about this morning, and you can enter into the conversation with hand sanitizer, obviously. 0797482090. That's what you got to do. Let us know what you're up to during the corona. What do they call it? The quarantine, huh? Yeah, we want to know.
Don't
what you're
go
doing.
Anywhere.
We want to know what you're doing to handle the quarantine.
CliffCentral.com.